musicians be seated if you'd like to. We sure appreciate your due diligence of being here every service. And, you know, they don't get a time off. Some of the singers do, but the singers don't. We have the musicians. It's a duty that they do every week and in and out. And it's something that's easily overlooked. And you don't realize the sacrifices that takes place. Because sometimes, if you'll be as honest with me as I'll be as honest with you, there are some services when you come and the night before, you just don't feel good. Sometimes you just want to come to service and just coast along. Hello. I'm not the only one. I've got flesh just like you do. But you know, musicians, they step right up there at their post of duty. And I really appreciate that. And we value you very much.
Amen.
We want to go to a scripture, if you don't mind, just one scripture. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16. Thank you. I'll pull it up. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and Lord God, I ask you to help me as I've already asked once this morning, Lord. Lord, let us not exaggerate on anything. Lord, help us to say it exactly how it is. But Lord, help us to not undertell it either, Lord. Help us to tell it exactly, because we don't want to cut you short on what you've done, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Father, you'll touch every heart here today. Lord, help me to give a proper explanation, Lord, of what I've seen you do. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I will tell you, when I give my heart to the Lord, he put a fire inside me, and immediately I had a desire to reach lost souls.
Amen.
Immediately.
Amen.
And some of you may know this, or maybe all of you, I don't know, but when I gave my heart to the Lord, I was going around hungering, knocking on doors, getting people to come to Bible study. And I was knocking on doors. I hadn't seen my wife in years, and I knocked on a door and at this woman's house by the name of Becky, a mutual friend that we both know. Knocked on the door, and Vicky was there. It was the first time I'd seen her in several years. And Becky didn't want to come to Bible study, but Vicky did. And we started going to Bible study together and started going to church. And, well, next thing you know, one day, traveling on the road, I told her we were going to get married. And that was about it. But what I'm saying is I was looking for a bride for the Lord, and he ended up helping me find one for myself.
Amen.
And but the Lord put a hunger in me immediately for lost souls. And I think that's something that a Christian we should definitely have, is a hunger for lost souls.
That's right.
And it's really easy to push it off on a minister's job, say it's their job to reach them, but really it's the congregation that will touch more lives than anybody else. Because, you know, a minister can preach it. For Brother Tony or myself, we can preach it here, but you're the one that goes out wherever you live at, and your demonstration of your life will actually preach more louder than what we can preach.
That's right.
And that's something the Lord had really dealt with me when I first began in my journey with the Lord, and started out in Van Buren and ended up in Kyoto shortly after. I just felt the Lord led me to go that way, and that's whenever I began to really brush shoulders with Brother Tony. And during that time, I met a brother that we all know by the name of Brother Miller. And Brother Miller brought a missions report from Mexico. And he had missions from Africa. And I remember I was sitting in the far back, on the back side, about where Brother Tony's sitting right now, inside the building we're at. And Brother Miller was talking about little MP3 players that he would try to send, and Bibles that he would send. And my wife and I were struggling just to make ends meet every day, it felt like. And on a daily basis, trying to pray that, Lord, give us our needs. But the Lord laid it on my heart right then. You start putting money back, and you start saving money, and you donate it for MP3 players and Bibles. And so my journey right then, I feel like that's where God began my journey on missions. And the Lord laid it on my heart. You save money and you give this. You start donating this money. And I'm telling you what, there were weeks in where I would have money for lunch, or I'd give it to the Bible or towards MP3 players and message books. And I don't say this trying to put myself on a pedestal. I would tell the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm very hungry right now. I'm working 16 hours a week, 18 hours a day. and I wouldn't eat. And rather than eating, I would take that money and I'd put it in an MP3 player. And I'd put it in an envelope, we'd send those over. And did this for a long time. And that's how I started my journey on missions, was giving these. And have you go ahead and open the slide, if you don't mind, on the start on the bottom. Whenever this is back in 2009, whenever I went here, I preached some meetings at this brother's place. It was way up on the mountain. And after preaching this service for this brother, for several years I had donated this money that I'm talking about. And preached some meetings for this brother here. And several gave their heart to the Lord. And we were actually praying for people that weren't there. They were at another place, but we were praying for them here. And we were getting phone calls that they were instantaneously healed over there, wherever they were. And at this meeting, several brothers come up to me and said, "I come to the Lord from the MP3 players that you've been sending." And brothers were one by one were coming up, and they're now pastors in churches. And it come from right here at this place. And I say that because, you know, Lord may tell you to do something little. It may look like something small. But I tell you what, if it's from God, when God lays it on your heart to do something, it can turn out to be something great. Because since I've done that, several souls have come to the Lord from this meeting here. And this meeting here, I have never seen anything quite like it. The devil tried to fight the meeting immediately. We put the tents up, and it was just an open tent, like a fireworks stand tent. And so we were on the top of a mountain, and it was a long, 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 long hike up that mountain. And going up and hill and up the hill and up the hill. And I remember one time I finally got on top of this hill. I'm like, we got to be getting close. And I looked over, and it was just hill, 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 all the way down. I was like, brother, where are we going? Is it, see that way over there? But yeah, that's where we're going. Like, oh, my goodness. But we got there, and we set this tent up. And the storm come through, and the whole tent looked like it was absolutely just going to just collapse. And they called me up to get ready to speak. And as soon as I spoke up, stood up to the pulpit, it's like the winds just completely stopped. And it never blew again for the rest of the service. Right. And it was pretty awesome. And this, you can see how clean my boots are right here, considering that's actually shiny. My shoes were clumped up with mud when I come here. And the night before, and I was exhausted, this is the deacon brother here, he got on his hands and knees and was washing my shoes. And I had just clumps of them. I said, "No, brother, no, don't do that." And he said, "No." And he's speaking to an interpreter, told me, he says, "No, brother, this is my ministry." And this brother got on his hands and knees and washed them and polished those shoes up. And I felt this tall. You know, just imagine how you'd feel. You're having that on your feet, and he'd get down there and do that for you. And just a humble brother. And when it came time to go, he just cried. He just a very, very good brother. I haven't got to see him since that time, that brother I had. So if you were going to go to the next one, that's 25 years old. This is the brother. This is right before we were fixing to leave. He was just a very, very humble brother. I'm going to go to the next one. This is the pictures of the brothers. I picked up some message books that we were taking and given to the message books. And I want you just to see how they're rejoicing over one message book that we're giving them. They were sitting around one another and just going through that all day long, just coming through one message book. They were coming through that, and they were just absolutely rejoicing. And young people, it gets worse every generation, it goes longer, how we can make this become common to us, because we can pull the message up easily on our phones and everything. We have message books everywhere. This is one message book that they had, and this is how they were hanging on to that. And go to the next one. At this sermon here, this is in close to Katakamas here. Whenever we had this service here, we actually played Brother Branham's sermon before the message started, and we had a speaker that was sitting out over the mountain. This sister here had come to the United States. Wasn't serving the Lord. Backslid, she wasn't even serving the Lord at all. She came to the United States and heard about Brother Branham, heard about the message, and she recognized his voice. And so we were in the mountains, and we had this speaker playing and had Brother Branham playing on that. And she was way, way, way in the mountains. And she heard Brother Brenham's voice. And she's like, oh my goodness, I think that's him. And she kept walking close, like, that cannot be him. And she's listening, and she's hearing Brother Brenham's voice. She's just like, that's him. That's the man I heard before, hearing Brother Brenham's voice. And she followed that voice through the mountains. She was going over the mountains, over here, and she was listening. She'd walk a little bit, and she would listen. And she'd walk a little more, and she'd listen. And she did it all the way up until she stumbled up into her knees. And rededicated her heart to the Lord, and had an awesome, awesome service. I upset because I preached, but it was just the Lord. And I thought that was just amazing how she literally followed the voice.
Amen.
I thought that was just pretty awesome. Because Lord does symbols like that, I think, a lot of times in your life. But Brother Graham talked about seven steps and different things.
That's right.
After this meeting, I don't have pictures of a lot of these. And I started to take a lot of pictures, and the Lord checked me on that. Because I don't want to be so focused on trying to prove that this happened that I'm losing the inspiration of the Lord. So
right.
I don't do that.
Right.
A lot of things I'll tell you, it's just my word for it. And when we get there, we're going to rejoice with them about it. Right. It's the truth. The brothers know it's true. After this service, we had to go back down that mountain that we went up. And it was absolutely exhausting. I thought I was in good shape. There was a sister riding a pack mule, or I was riding the mule, but she was walking. And I looked at her and I said, oh, bro, we can't do this. I said, brother, I said, no. I said, I'm walking. I said, you put her on this mule. I said, no, brother, she's used to this. I said, brother, I got strong legs. I said, I can do this. I said, you let her do it. And she was just going right up one hill and up the other. I was like, nothing. I said, no, let me, please. I can't do this. So I get off, and she gets on the pack mule, and she's like, you sure? I'm like, yeah, please, get up there. And I'm telling you what, I thought, I got this. I'm halfway through. every step of the way, like, oh, my goodness. And finally, I was like, I'm going to grab the tail of this mule and have the mule, like, oh. And I'm like, please slow down. I thought I was going to collapse a lung trying to get to where we're going. Well, we finally get to where we're going, and it took forever. And I didn't think it was ever going to get. It was just crazy. When we finally get to where we're going, I'm thinking, finally, victory. I can lay down and just take a nap. I'm exhausted. We come down to this place, and there's just a Pentecostal brother that's waiting on us down at this little village. It's a little village where we're at. And this Pentecostal brother's waiting on us, and they come up there, and I'm just like, God bless you, brother. I'm about staggering, and I'm so tired I can hardly stand. That's literally how exhausted I was. And I'm just dizzy, and he said, brother, we're so excited. He said, but we're wanting to have service for you. He said, but we can't have it service in the Pentecostal church. The Pentecostal elders will not let us do it. He said, so we're going to do it in a school over here. And I was like, oh, praise the Lord, brother. Speaking to the interpreter. And I said, praise the Lord, brother. We're just glad to do it. Tomorrow morning, I'll be pumped up and ready. He said, tomorrow morning? No, brother. Now. I was like, do you see what I just walked from? And he said, no, brother. He said, we're doing the service now. People are fixing to come. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm so exhausted. I can't hardly walk. I'm so exhausted. I can't paint a picture clear enough of how tired I was. And he said, no, brother, you're fixing to start service right now. And we're going to preach in this church, or in this school, rather. And I was so tired, I couldn't hardly think. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm going to speak. And I started walking, and all of a sudden, it's like a wind coming down. And when that wind came over me, it's like I was completely rejuvenated. I felt like I was at spring football camp. I felt great. I mean, just the energy that I felt inside me. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly and said, speak on, I stand at the door and knock. And didn't know why or anything. I just said, okay, so thank the Lord, that's what I'll do. I wasn't really prepared, and because I wasn't saved for this service at all. Went in there into the service, and the service was the building room we were in was about where Brother Brown was, or Brother Tim is. This same space. And the spacing was all the way to about right here to the pulpit, and my back was literally against the wall. So I could not back up at all. And we started the service. I stand at the door and knock. And I felt like I was watching myself. That's what it felt like. It was, the Lord was so in control of everything that was taking place. We had this service and spoke, and one man rose up in the back. It was defined because he said that, trying to say he believed in the Trinitarian doctrine. He was from the Pentecostal church. And I didn't flinch at all. I wasn't nervous at all. I knew God was in control. And that brother, something, it's just like his mouth is sealed shut. And he just couldn't even talk. And the brother left. And it was like a fog come down over the people where we were. And when they done that, something like I've never seen before. It was like a fog come down over the people, and people started shouting and crying and pouring their hands up. And one by one, people started coming up to the altar in the hallway. And it was poor saying, I'm just accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. And that almost all that whole building come out of that Pentecostal church right then and come to the message. And absolutely awesome. I mean, awesome. I never thought about, I stand at the door or not. I never thought about it.
Amen.
Well, we left. Brother Miller said, Brother Daniel, do you realize what the name of your sermon? Did you do that on purpose? I said, no, brother, I didn't even know what I was speaking. He said, Brother, I want you to stop thinking about what you preach. He said, you preach, I stand at the door and knock. He said, they kicked us out of the Pentecostal church. We had to preach this in the school of that church.
Yeah.
He said, and look how many people come out of that Pentecostal church and come to the Lord. I mean, I thought that was just absolutely awesome.
Amen.
And to this day, many men still serving the Lord. Go ahead and go to the next one. These are souls that come to the Lord during that meeting. Matter of fact, from that meeting. This is another church that we went to. This is actually later on. There was a church, two churches there that were having kind of disputes between one another. And so it's not just the United States that has problems. It's over there too. And whenever we went here to this service, about the same thing. The presence of the Lord come down, and the two pastors that could not reconcile were reconciled during this service here. And at the end of the meeting, and today, they're still in harmony, still going together. I thought that was, as far as missions church, I told Brother Paco, I said, you got certain loops where certain ministers always go, and they're the ones that always get the help. I said, that's not where I want to go. I said, I feel like they've got their ministry. I want to go where people are struggling. That's where I want to go to. Because they know that are whole, they don't need a physician. I want to go where they're really struggling. And I thought this is what really God really called me to. And there was several give their heart to the Lord during this meeting here. I'm going to go to the next one. This is actually the pastor brother, one of the brothers. I'm going to go to the next brother, David. This is a youth meeting that I had just got done speaking, and you can see how wet I am. You talk about hot and humid. It's very humid. And that's the youth of, this is actually in close to San Pedro Sula is where this is at. Okay, go to the next one. This is Brother Margarito here. And this brother is a very special brother. During the meetings, he has been asking me to come to his church since I first went in 2009. And I have tried to go. Every time I've tried to go, an obstacle has happened where I couldn't go. So maybe the Lord will permit it that I can go to him. And I actually just got done speaking at a meeting at this service here. So you can go to the next one here. This is the tent meetings. This is what they'll look like. And they're packed completely out. There'll be the inside's completely out. And if you could do the camera out this way, there's people all the way outside and all the way outside. And if it starts raining, they don't go home. They just sit there and endure it, and they'll listen right through the service. And it's pretty awesome. You can go to the next one. Brother Miller. This is another young brother that actually come through the MP3 players that I had sent. Had come to the message. They're with the young brother with the gray shirt. And this is Brother Nexon here. This brother always told me that if I don't learn Spanish, he's going to punish me. So every time he sees me, he tries to speak to me in Spanish. I'm like, and then his major interpreter said, I'm going to punish you, brother. So I told him, I said, one day, maybe Lord will, I'll learn how to speak it. So he'll go to the next one here. This is a brother that came to the Lord during the meeting. He had a pretty bad sickness that was on him. I won't tell you what it was. It was a bad sickness, and the Lord absolutely healed him. He was pretty awesome. Go to the next one. And this is just another meeting that we were speaking. So you can kind of get an idea of what it looks like. This is actually a smaller tent here. So, go to the next one. This is packing the mule, riding the pack mule up in the mountains. This is if you can see him in the back, this brother in the green shirt back here, that's Brother Juan. This brother came to the Lord, and we're going to do a baptismal service in the morning. And we actually had to postpone the baptism a little bit because he had to go out and kill a tiger. They call them tigers there. Now, whether it's a tiger or a lion, I don't know. I never saw one. Hopefully, they weren't around me. But we actually had to postpone the service, and we just kept singing. And he came back after he killed it, and we baptized him. So, praise the Lord. I'm going to go to the next one. This is actually him. This is actually Brother Juan. So go to the next one. This is a sister that came to the Lord while we were there, and heard her little baby, and she would walk. It was like 4 hours that she would walk every service to go. Go to the next one. This is a service. This is actually in Tegucigalpa. This is actually the biggest church in Honduras, Message Church in Honduras. And you think music's loud. You see those speakers that are up on top? Those would rattle so loud, your hair would just vibrate. They would really get into the worship service. I mean, they really put it on. It was pretty awesome. And Brother Miller interpreted for me as well. But had some awesome services. Several give their heart to the Lord. This is a little bit of testimony here. One of the trips that I had come through, I was actually on my way to service, walking to the service, and there was a man sitting down working on a chair, and I knelt down, and the Lord laid it on my heart to talk to this man. And so I knelt down and started talking to him about the Lord, thinking through Brother Paco. Brother Paco is the main one that interprets for me, and I'll show you pictures of him in just a moment. I felt led to talk to this man and sort of talk about the Lord. And I said, I want you to come to service. Did you come hear the message? He said, no, brother, I don't want to hear this. But thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I went on to service, and we put the speakers up, and we put them up real high where everybody could hear from far off. Well, this man hears the message and gives his heart to the Lord. When I would give the altar call or anything, I would tell him, right now, I don't care where you're at. Sometimes I even say here, if you're on the internet, it don't matter. Right now, you give your heart to the Lord. You get on your knees, you seek Him with all your heart. Well, this man did that, and he started a church here. He's not a preacher. He's just a guy that loves the Lord. He opened his house up, but he needed a roof, and this is actually the roof that I paid for while I was there. I paid for a brother to do the labor for that, to help him get the roof on the service. We actually had services here, so I thought that was pretty awesome. Sometimes you don't think what you're doing, the little things that you do, it's the big things. A lot of times you think the big things are the big things, but a lot of times they don't. You can go to the next one. These are message books that we got and handed out to the pastors. Pastors that are coming in to get those. And these are more pastors here. This is Brother Paco. This is the brother that does all the interpreting for me when I go. And when I think about the circumstances of it, sometimes I think it's crazy because I can't speak a lick of Spanish. I can speak baño. I can speak hombre. Very, very small. Dios le bendiga. I can't speak much at all. But when I go to the airport there, I am at 100% confidence in the Lord and that this brother's going to meet me there. And because I can't speak nothing. And I go there, and I remember one time Brother Paco was over an hour late. And I'm here, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm really recalculating myself. Like, we did say we were going to meet here. We did say today, this time. And I'm like, and if you try to speak to someone, they're speaking in Spanish. Like, oh my goodness. And if I talk to a brother that speaks English, he said, brother, you don't speak any Spanish? I said, no, I don't. I said, I've got an interpreter that's going to meet me. He said, you come all the way here and you don't speak Spanish? I said, no. I said, he said, well, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Capitacamas. This is where I'm going. Agua Blanca is where I'm going. And I started naming him, telling my trip, but where I'm going. He said, and you don't speak Spanish? I said, no, I don't. He said, you're crazy. He said, there's no way I would do that. I said, well, I felt the Lord called me to this. And I said, I believe the Lord did it. And I talked to this man about leadership. And I talked to him about trust in the Lord. And got a good, really good witness, this man. Well, here comes Brother Paco. Come walking through there. And he's like, this man don't speak a lick of Spanish. Brother Paco says, I know. He's been trying to teach it to me, but it just ain't working. So, and go on. Excellent. I believe it was Sister Catherine made a bunch of little pot handle deals 7 years ago. These are some sisters that received those. So. They were very, very excited. This service here was a very, very special service to me. This is way on another mountain in there. During this service, these two girls were not serving the Lord at all. And these two, the mother and wife, they were diligent in the Lord. They come up to the service and poured their heart out to the Lord, and they whispered it to me through Brother Paco. They didn't shout it. They whispered it to me. They said, I want the salvation. And I preached that morning over Sister Hattie Wright, said it right. And she said, it ain't nothing but the truth. And during this service here, I was talking about, I said, the word that I preached to you is the same word that Brother Brennan preached to you. I said, if you have faith in that, if you have lost children in that, Sister Hattie Wright said it ain't nothing but the truth. I said she could have claimed anything she wanted, and what she wanted was the salvation of her children. And at the end of this service, I said, anyone that needed prayer, these two come up to the front, and they said, this is what they said. They said, it ain't nothing but the truth. I want the salvation of my two daughters. And these two girls started crying immediately from the back of the building. And both of those sisters gave their heart to the Lord during that service. I thought that was pretty awesome. She didn't shout it. She didn't. She just whispered it to me. She said, "It ain't nothing but the truth. I want the salvation of my two daughters." And I said, "It'll be yours." And immediately, just like that, the presence of the Lord dropped down, and both of those gave their heart to the Lord. Can we go to the next one? That's actually where the building is. I wish I could have done the scope for you in this picture, but I didn't do it. If you look back, this is the mountain. And way back over on this mountain, if you were to look at it, it looked like a little bitty pin. That's what they looked like. And that's what the sisters looked like that were walking to service, to get to the service. They were walking over 6 hours to be in service. You're going to go to the next one. Meet my brother Paco. And this is actually the meeting where we had the service with those two girls. They gave their heart to them. And they're in the back. You can probably barely see them. But here in the back, that's the sisters in the back. And during that service, that happened. So, you can go to the next one. You've heard the testimony about little Daniel, the woman that she came to the prayer line and she wanted a baby boy. And we prayed for her that the Lord would give her a baby boy. And she told the Lord, she said, "Lord, if you give me a boy, I'm going to name him after this brother Daniel. And name him. This is a miracle baby." 10 months later, he was born. So. I call him the miracle child. So, you want to go to the next one. This is Brother Emmanuel. This is a very humble, humble brother. He is little. You can see how little he is. But that brother has got backbone. I'm here to tell you. He will stand for the word, and he is bold, but he is humble. I'm telling you what, just today, that's an awesome brother. You hear about the Apostle Paul, different men that are like, that's just like him, Brother Emmanuel. And anytime I've ever come, he has always opened his heart to me, his congregation to me. This sister on the end, this is back then, I don't remember how old I was there, but she was 19. This was her 19th birthday. And I remember this very clearly. At the end of the service, she came to the front, and she had flowers in her hair because it was her birthday. And she came to the front, and she said, and I was preaching about how that God's going to have a perfect bride. And she comes to the front, and her sincere prayer, she said, "I don't want anything." She said, "All I want to be is the perfect bride for Jesus Christ." And her sincerity that she had, it was absolutely awesome. And this brother has done very, very well. So if you don't mind, pray for this brother, because he goes through a lot of trials there. But he is bold. He will not deviate from the word. There's a lot of Americans, especially, that are trying to go there and take a lot of false doctrines. They're trying to preach return ministry. They're trying to preach two souls. They're trying to preach all this stuff that you don't even have to think about here, because Brother Tony don't allow it to get to the door. And if it were ever got there, he'd chop it off. Well, they have to deal with this. And it's very, very strong there. And a lot of them, even as far as baptizing Brother Brenham's name still. Brother Brenham, clearly on the tapes, condemned the whole thing. Right. These people still do it. And this brother has to fight that. And a lot of the other churches, a lot of the other brothers are falling. He won't. He stays right with the word. And another thing that happens a lot there, and I don't say this to show blemishes in the people, but I say this to show you what to pray for, what this brother has to go through. A lot of the pastors there are falling with the congregation, you know, with the women of the church. And so, I mean, a lot of the churches, they're looking at these pastors to be a headship, to give me the word, give us the true thing, and they're having to worry about him trying to commit adultery. Well, you know, this brother is bold. He keeps right on forward. And so a lot of those churches that go through those struggles, they go to his church now. So God bless him. Brother Manny, I want you to really pray for him. So I'm going to go to the next one. This was another church that we had come to. I actually rededicated this church to the Lord. It's a new work from the Lord. So next one. And you see how we baptize when we go there? We'll find a little creek there. We'll take banana leaves and pack the banana leaves enough to make, because when we first started, that was only about this deep, about knee deep. And we just kept packing banana leaves until we'd go deeper and deeper. We'd go get more banana leaves and pack it up until finally it was deep enough that we baptized. So it was pretty awesome. On this day, I led three to the Lord. I baptized three. And then I married three.
That's it was pretty crazy. It was Brother Paco says 333, bro, that's God's number. I said, yeah, I guess it is. So, we'll go to the next one.
This is how we would do the meetings. We put the speakers up, and people would start coming out of the mountains. So, we'll go to the next one. Me and my brother Paco going to the next one. This is a testimony here. The Lord laid it on my heart to get her an iron. I told my wife, I said, the Lord has laid it very heavy to get a iron for Brother Paco's wife. And I said, I want you to go get the best one you can buy. I want you to get her an iron. So she goes, gets it, and she brings it to my work and hands it to me. And she hands me this iron, and my phone rings. And Brother Paco is on the phone. He said, Brother Daniel, he said, my wife has got a request for you. She said, please don't feel this disrespectful, brother. She said, we want to pay you for it. We're not asking you nothing for free. She said, but my wife really needs an iron. He said, if you will buy an iron, we will reimburse. I said, brother, well, you can't reimburse me because I've already bought it. I've got it in my hand. They started shouting. And they said, are you serious? I said, I'm serious. She literally handed me the iron. My phone goes off. And it says, can you give me the iron? I said, well, actually, I've already got it. it's on its way. Well, one of the sisters of their daughters spoke up and said, Brother Daniel, did God tell you to put a new iPhone in that too? It's like, no, he didn't say that. But you can go to the next one. I thought that was just a really awesome testimony. This is the Mexico trip. And you can see how young Brother Tony and myself look. I look a little scruffy there. So this is a few years ago to Brother David's. And you can see us hanging out in the middle of the mountains with Brother Tony and Brother David. This is Brother David again. And Brother Tony. And this is the sisters of the church, the beginning of his work there. And really small congregation, the young sisters that are with him. I say young, they're all of them. But again, this is actually his son-in-law there. I don't know if he was his son-in-law yet at that time. He was. Okay. Yeah, that's Brother David's son-in-law. One. And I got a picture of our pastor, hard at it, at the Grinding Stone. And they still have that same picture back there at their new building there. It's a gorgeous building. I didn't want to cut into that too much, but I didn't want to cut into Brother Tony's stuff. I guess that's all of them right there. So, there's a lot more pictures that I could have taken to show you, but the Lord really checked me on that. In the beginning of that, I was trying to be very diligent to get pictures because I wanted people to be there with me. And the Lord really made it real strong to me. Because I feel like I could have hindered the Holy Ghost by doing that. Because you're trying so hard to prove that this is really happening. Imagine Apostle Paul doing something and I have to prove this or they're not going to believe it. No, just put it in the scriptures. If they're believers, they'll believe it. And that's the way it is with us. Give me just a couple more testimonies and then I'll ask Brother Tony to come to share with you. There was one family that gave their heart to the Lord. We suffer things in our life for a reason, a lot of times for something later on. Well, we went through the suffering with Elijah and his face and his body the way it was, the way he was healed, and Hannah with her feet the way it was. And it was a trial for us, and also the trials that we've gone through our finances, of where we would needed God to come through and help us in our time of need. And I won't go into those for right now, but you've heard them. I've given the testimonies here. One of the families I gave my heart to the Lord, give their hearts to the Lord in the meetings, after I'd done, gone home, they had an emergency where their baby had gotten such an emergency fever over them that they didn't know what they were going to do. It was an emergency. This baby needed a doctor, and needed a doctor now, but there wasn't no doctor. And their testimony is that they got down on their knees in the middle of their house and said, God, we ask the God of Brother Daniel that come. Now, why did he say God of Brother Brennan? But this was his testimony. He said, I asked that the God of Brother Daniel, the same God that healed his boy, the same God that healed his daughter, heal our baby right now. And he said the Lord absolutely broke the fever and healed the baby. Absolutely, 100%. Now, it's by faith that they're healed. It's nothing in me. In my words, it's my words. My words are nothing. But when you preach God's word, it's God's word. It's not my word anymore. It's God's word. And by faith, they believe that. So I say that to tell you, sometimes you go through trials
and you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, if you will testify about what God did through that, a lot of times you'll be deliverance for somebody else that goes through that. And when someone else is going through a trial that maybe you think is insignificant. But I've seen a lot of several souls come to the Lord overseas. But I think we need to be concentrating also on this side while we're here. And don't think you have to be a minister to testify about what God's done in your life, because your testimony is what God lays on your heart to do something. You have missions work to do here. Brother David's church has grown dramatically, but it's not just from Brother David. It's his congregation that are witnessing. His congregation are talking. His congregation is doing the same. So it's everybody is what I'm trying to say. It's a body work. So if you want to just all stand with me and let's just sing that song. We don't have to have Brother Tim come, but let's just sing that song, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Missionary, and I'm going to ask Brother Tony to come.
Lord, prepare me to be a missionary.
You know, the Lord is in everything, no doubt about it. And he goes way back, long before you even know he's gotten started to doing anything. He starts working and doing things. And so we certainly want to thank the Lord for what he's done. You know, the Lord sent his disciples out two by two. And I know when Brother Daniel and I were on this trip, we were talking about that, and I was telling him, you know, the Lord does it on purpose, because, you know, if you're by yourself and you get through a trial, ain't nobody there to really help you, you know. But if you got two of you there, then you can kind of push-pull type thing, you know.
That's right.
And so, but I will tell you, Brother Daniel is a blast to travel with and to be on the mission fields with. And I didn't, you know, I've been on many missions trips before, but there's something on trips with him that I've not had before. And so I'm definitely appreciative of what the Lord has provided, having Brother Daniel here and working with us and being able to do missions work together and having that desire. So we're gonna just kind of move through this. So here's the commission. I wanna make sure everybody remembers that you're commissioned, right? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That was Jesus speaking there. So there's the commission to go into all the world and to tell them the gospel. And from the message, Brother Branham says, I believe that every Christian is obligated to be a missionary. Amen?
Yeah.
I believe every Christian is obligated. Now, not so much as you have to go over in the old countries and preach for something, but if you can't go, you can help send somebody else, you see. See? Amen. So we all are obligated to do that. And there's plenty of places, quotes I didn't want to spend a lot of time with, but Brother Branham says, you are in the will of God when you're doing missions work because of the original commission right there because of that. So we are in the will of God doing that. And I have found out over the years that when you push out there, God takes care of things at home too for you. So so this is, as he's mentioned, Brother David DeLeon. Now, this was in 2014. I met Brother David going back many years before that. We were having services there in Monterey, and one night, Saturday night or so, I had been ministering there, and this brother was there. And he came over, and I was sitting at the table, and he sat down right to the right of me on the corner of the table. And I could tell that he was drawn to me, and he started inviting me to come to his church. He said, "I have a church in the mountains, Saltillo." Well, I didn't know. I figured it was a little town or something like that. He didn't tell me it was a town of a million people. But he was drawn, and he was, ever since then, he's really shown a lot of interest. And so over the years, I have went there, and also this brother does missionary work himself. So he goes to Honduras, he goes to Nicaragua, he goes to other places throughout Mexico to get the gospel out. He does a youth camp every year. He has done that for many years, and I've worked with him. And what I've told him in the past, I've said, "Brother David, here's what I want to do. You go out, and as you're going to have this youth camp, you go and you talk to these pastors that have youth that are coming." And I said, "You find the families that have children that cannot come to this meeting because they cannot afford it." And I said, "That's the ones I want to help bring in." And so that's what we do. And he, many years ago, he had went to Brother Biscoe's website, and he seen where Brother Danny Steeman, didn't know who Danny was, but he seen the youth camp there. And so he called up there and he said, "Hey, I want to know who this brother is that held these meetings there for your youth." And they finally told him, and so he called and talked to Brother Danny Steeman. And so for many years now, Brother Danny comes down and does a youth camp for him. So he gets a place out in the desert, and all the youth go there, kind of like probably like LA camp does. Brother David doesn't, you know, he didn't know any of these things. He didn't know about all these people and all these things. This is just what the Lord put on his heart, and so this is what he's done. And so we've worked together with him that way. And as I've said, I know that he was always drawn toward me, and kind of interesting, not to try and get into too many details, but, you know, about the time that everything happened 7 years ago, the Lord provided channels, very clear channels, for Brother Daniel and I to continue on in the missions field, mm-hmm. and without a hiccup. Right. And I appreciate that. God knows what he's doing. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand, but he knows what he's doing. And so, you know, he's provided those channels. And so, you know, there is that truth that if you take the gospel to somebody in their own country and you get them truly converted, they'll take it to their own people. And so this brother, this is what he wants to do, and not in himself, but he's already told me, he said, "Brother, you know, he's trying to arrange meetings for us to go other places and him meet us there so he can do the translation work for us." And so that's the burden that's on his heart. But anyway, I this last trip, I'm trying to point out a little something there that I learned in this last trip. Wondering why he was drawn to me, I didn't know, but I found out in this last trip that years ago before I met him, he was part of a ministry that was well known, and he had to take a stand against that ministry for things that were wrong. And as soon as he did, he was blackballed, and nobody wanted nothing to do with him, and nobody wanted, even to this day, mm-hmm. a lot of the ministers that are there in that circle, and it's I could call the name of the ministry, and most of you probably haven't heard it, but it's a well-known, widespread, they even have churches here in the United States that you don't even know about, because they teach those churches that they cannot fellowship with others outside of their circle. Mm-hmm. And so, but he's went through something, and I realize we can associate with each other as having to go through some similar things like that. And so this is him and his family, and this was about in 2014. And so we'll get through here. This was when Brother Daniel and I were there. He had some pictures there just a little while ago. By the way, this last trip, on the way back to Monterey, we stopped at that same place. And, it's many hundred miles south, but we were freezing on that day the other day when we stopped there at this little place to get some corn. So when we were there in 2014, the place was, the building, and I'll show you a picture in a minute, was packed. And he had new families starting that week, if you remember that, brother. New families starting that, and we're like, I'm wondering, where's he going to put them? And so we knew he needed a place, and he was having to rent from a place there. And so Brother David, up until that point, was also working a job, kind of like myself. And he was approaching the idea of retiring, and so he could go full-time ministry. Since then, he has done that. But so after Brother Daniel and I were there, they started work on building a church. And so this church has helped them along the way a couple of times with some finances to help them to get their church going. And so this is where this was the day they started construction, you know, Brother Branham, how they had the cornerstone and the Bible and everything. So this is the start of their foundation on that day. And so there's Brother David in the back with the ball cap on, him working out there just like the rest of the brothers do, which I think a good pastor will do that.
Yeah.
Get out there and work if he's got the capabilities. So then I went back in 2016, and this time, I the Lord really put it on my heart. Three times, he put it on my heart to ask Brother Prater to go with me. And so he did. And the Lord had dropped it on my heart. There were several things that was needed to be accomplished on that trip. And I can tell you, every one of those things happened. And those things that happened at that time was actually laid foundation for this trip we just went on and what can go on further. But this was in 2016 when Brother Prater and I were there. You can see the place is almost, there's almost no seats. And that was just the couples. That was when I spoke to the couples doing what they call matrimonial. So the place is full, and that wasn't even the kids and the single people. See, and this was the building they were in at the time. And so we really felt that burden knowing the integrity of Brother David and his family and the work they do there. That we really felt led to support them and help them, and so we've done this, and so that was in 2016. But when I was there in his pastor's study, how many remember these things? These little, but look what he wrote on there: to always have a loving and united flock, and then he co-signed it there under the name Jesus Christ, and he has a loving and united flock. Amen. That really pricked my heart. So during that trip, this was how much work they had done already. We've got pictures back there on the board there. This is where they were at that point in 2016. And so now we come to this trip here. This won't take long, but so on Friday night, they said, okay, I could show you the text if I still have it. Brother David's like, you know, he was telling me, you pick what services, who's going to preach what services. And I wrote it back like, well, you know, generally, brother, you guys always, y'all are always the ones that say who's preaching when. A lot of times they don't tell you until just before service.
That's right.
You know, and he, it was kind of funny the way it wrote it, you know. And it was like, yeah, you go ahead and do it, but I'd like for you to take the Friday night service and brother then the Saturday night service, and then Sunday morning I want you to do both the services back to back Sunday morning, and then Brother Daniel will do service. And I mean, it was funny. Yeah, you decide, but here's what I want. And so I felt kind of bad, like, well, but after the trip has happened, I realized it was exactly the way the Lord wanted it.
Yeah.
You know. Because I'm thinking, well, why would I do both services Sunday morning, you know, one back to another? But the Lord knew what he was doing. So on Friday night, this was the hot seat. Okay. And I don't know. We probably don't have any pictures or videos on this that would show you the size of the crowds or anything like that. But they were pretty good size crowds there. And so Brother Daniel did a little bit of a little video there. When they all come out, they all line up and pass by each other. That's something they always do. So Brother Daniel's trying to show the line, and there's actually a double line, people moving along. And so you can't really see. But this was after service that night. And so while everybody was coming by, I come out standing by Brother David. As we were coming by, Brother David said to me, he said, there was a man and woman and daughter, and they were coming by shaking. He said, Brother Tony, he turned to him and said, do you remember when you were here in 2016, the young girl who had a brain tumor? And we had her come up in the prayer line. I remember the Saturday night service back then, was we had a big prayer line. It was a long time, you know, after I got through preaching, and they come up, and I was numb. My arms were tingling. It was that's just what it was. And I remember him telling me that this girl had a brain tumor. And then when they brought her up in the line, he told me, he said, Brother Tony, this is the girl I was telling you about. And the mama and dad were helping her. She was, you know, you could tell she was in a bad situation. And so the other night, whenever they come through, he said, you remember that request? And I said, yeah, I do remember that. And he said, here is the girl. Mm-hmm. He said, God completely healed her.
Amen.
And he said, these two brothers right here are older brothers. They weren't serving the Lord. And when they saw what the Lord did to their little sister, they come in, give their hearts to the Lord, and they're serving in the church just like, you know, who wouldn't? You know, Brother Ram said when them Russians was hugging the necks of Finnish soldiers, because when, who wouldn't serve God that could raise the dead, right?
Right?
And so, really, you know, denominations can say and do whatever they want, but if we can take the reality mm-hmm. of a supernatural God who loves them, and demonstrate that to them, it'll take care of what needs to be done.
Amen.
And so it's really, and I remember, I'll be honest with you, I remember whenever they brought her up, and I'm thinking, who am I to pray for this? Who, I mean, what?
Yeah.
But you see, saints, it's not us. It's not our word. It's His word. Yeah. It's His promise. He's the one that said it, see? And so you just do it. You carry out what He said and watch Him take care of it, and you just move right on and just keep walking with Him.
Yeah.
And so, and I want you to notice. Imagine the difference if God had not done that, and that girl would have died, and them two, the mom and dad on either side, would be heartbroken, and them two boys would still be out there in the world, aggravated, you know, with their sister hating, you know, whatever it was. But God moved, and look at that whole family.
Yeah.
The unity, yeah. And the joy, and the happiness, because God moved and made this sister well. And so, testimonies like that, you know, sometimes you go, what am I doing? What am I doing out here in the middle of nowhere? I want to be home with my family.
Yes.
But it's when stuff like that happens that you say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
So Saturday night, there's the hot seat again. Brother Daniel's in the hot seat. And I'm being merciful to him, because I actually took a video of him. He was sitting there in his... He's wiggling his foot. I said, Brother Daniel, I'm nervous. I got it on my phone, but I was, no, I'm not going to do that, you know. Because you hear all these people out there, and you don't know what, you know, you have high expectation. You don't know what the Lord's going to do. But, you know, that Friday night before this, you know, I was preaching, and, you know, the service brought the service up to this climax. Brother Daniel said, I was just ready for you to, like, bring them to the altar and everything. And, you know, and I just really felt checked. And he said, yeah, I know what I'm going to preach about, but I don't for the next night. But he said, I don't have a title yet.
Yeah, that's right.
So he said, I don't have a title yet. And so I just, man, I mean, it was ripe. I could have called an altar call. I could have probably, and I just said, you know what? I felt inspired, and I said, I challenged them. I said, you go from here tonight, and you take care of, and I named the things or whatever, and you do this, and then you come back tomorrow night, and, you know, and I forget how I said it, but basically I just said, you come back and see if God don't move, you know. And so Brother Daniel said, right then God gave him the sermon title.
Yeah.
And when the title was called, Will You Be Free? And so that night they had these, I forget what they, a mariachi or whatever they call that. They have a bunch of brothers there, and we don't have a clip of that or whatever, but just beautiful to see them up there and just serving the Lord, and you just have to see it to be inspired by it. But, so Brother Daniel preached, Will You Be Free? And And so Brother David had told me, he said, some of my youth in the church have learned a song they want to sing to you in English. They had been working on it for weeks. And so he said, and they sung it that night while Brother Daniel's in the back. He's fixing to come out. He's going to preach this sermon that the title had come to him the night before. And so this is, Will You Be Free? That was the song that the Lord put on their heart to learn. We had a prayer night. They had those in front of them, but they had to learn that. There's one fella there, that one to the right there, that does speak English. Because he came to us a Sunday morning, and remember he said how well the meetings was, but he said, Brother, he said, perhaps y'all could come back in the next 2 or 3 months. Next 2 or 3 months, you know. But anyway, that's how much they want it, how much they love it so much. We thank the Lord for little things like that Amen. He does. And so I believe this is just a little clip of Brother Daniel coming out ministry there. I know you get to hear us all the time, but just to kind of show you the environment there a little bit. Found out after ministering Friday night, they came back and Brother David said that they had been streaming back to the States. I don't know who all, somebody back here in the States was streaming the services there. I don't know who all, somebody in Texas, I don't know, but it's kind of interesting. You go down there and sermons come back up here. So Sunday morning we did 2 services back to back. The first one was for the couples. And I'll just have a little bit of a clip from that. And then the next service after that, and I don't even remember the name of the title, but I focused on the Lamb's Book of Life, what the Lamb redeemed in the second service there that morning. And so we'll just do a little bit of that. So Brother Daniel did some favor. So after service, they fed us a big meal there, and this is part of their youth, obviously not all of them, but this group right here prepared the meal for everyone that day, and a lot of people didn't stay for the meal. Of course, they have to go home, a lot of people had to work and different things like that, but anyway, this was the youth that provided the meal for us, and they really like mango, and they make mango juice, mm-hmm. and I guess it was equivalent to probably close to a 44-ounce. These huge cups that they brought out. And the picture doesn't show it, but there's Brother Daniel's cup right there. It's huge, huge. I think the mouth of it's probably about that big.
Yeah.
At the top. I looked at that, and there's no way I can drink all that. but anyway, they have a fellowship area outside, just a covered awning type area that the tables are lined up, and when they're done, all that's cleaned up. It's all cleaned up and put away. And you know, before service, we came in, and I don't know, Brother Daniel has really touched his heart, but he was talking about when he come in, and every service, the whole place, it's mopped, and the sanctuary, the floor, everything's is tiles, all mopped and cleaned, and it reminds you of the scriptures of all the servants there for Solomon.
Yeah.
They were happy to be there serving the Lord, and so they really speaks to your heart when you see those things. So there was some of the food there, and I don't know what it was they brought us. Sunday night we went back to Monterey. This is Brother Estrella's daughter and son-in-law and their children, and I remember years ago standing there watching this man in the parking lot keeping his, you know, talking to her, courting her, you know, interested in her, but keeping distance. And eventually they were married, and so here's their children. And he does chiropractic type things work, you know. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but that's what he does. And I don't know if we told you, but Brother Estrella's wife had fallen downstairs, and she had banged her head, and it was bad. And so she had been in bed. You know, the doctors had her bedridden for months, and even maybe 30 days, up to about 30 days before we were there, she was still seeing double vision. And so on this particular night, they don't have service on Sunday night. probably because of the situation with her, because they usually do. But they haven't for a while, but they held everybody over and had a day of fellowship so that we could have service there that night. And so Brother Stray, his wife, for the first time in all those months, she was able to get out of bed and come and be in service. And so Brother Daniel preached that night. Video camera battery died, so we didn't have any film of it. But this service on that night had a awesome prayer line there also, and that service was streamed to Israel. So people in Israel were watching that service. And so there's Brother Australia that took us out to eat afterwards. And then he got us a place to stay for the last night, and that was at the hotel the next morning. He came to have breakfast with us before he went to the airport. And so, you know, Brother Daniel said God does all kinds of things. You know, we went into the hotel there where Brother David put us up, so we go in there first thing, and Brother Daniel's like, I got to use the restroom, and he goes in the restroom and comes back out, and then I go in the restroom, and I notice in there the toilet seat won't stay up. You put it up, it falls back down. It will not stay up. And so I come out. You know what? We were there in 2014, was it? Mm-hmm. Same room, same toilet, lid still won't stay up. And I come out, I said, Brother Daniel, he laughed. He said, I thought the same thing, you know. Here we are. We've been here how many years ago, and it, you know, they haven't changed it one bit. It's a nice place, don't get me wrong. It's nice accommodations, but they just haven't fixed the toilet. So we were sitting there, and Brother Daniel sleeps across the room over by the air conditioner, and he was laying over sleeping, and I was sitting there. I don't know if I was studying, praying, or whatever, but he was asleep over there. And all of a sudden, I heard. I thought, boy. You know? So a little while goes on like that, and again. Same thing. And so this happened several times, and I finally realized it wasn't Brother Daniel, it was the air conditioner side. I'm like, what in the world? You know, he has two snores, one big one and then a little one after that. You know? So, but anyway, so we enjoyed it, and the Lord does little funny things like that, and you know, the numbers and the dates and the names and the way things come together. If we tried to tell you all the things like that, it would be, you know, so you just have to know. And it means a lot to us when you see the Lord do things like that. And even the numbers, Brother Bram would say, oh, there's seven steps and, you know, that kind of thing. And so we get ready to go home, and this is our gate, gate number seven.
Yeah.
So you just see the Lord just does all kinds of things. So after we got back, Brother David had their 1 year anniversary. We weren't able to be down there for that particular, they really wanted us to be there. We weren't and missed that. And I really felt bad about not being able to be there, but it just didn't work out. But he sent me a picture, me and Brother Daniel, a picture of the day, and this is their congregation 1 year. So went a long ways from that little bitty place.
Yeah.
And now they've got a place, and he said they only owe, what was it,
$14,000?
Only owe $14,000 on this place. Now you have to realize what they built there is a $1 million building or more here. But they did all the work themselves. There's very little that they had to. They had to get a loan for the roof. They had to go, you know, they had to have somebody make the trusses and all that. But Brother David's got, he's got engineers that work in there, and his son's an architect. So his son is the one that designed the building. And he's telling me that his son-in-law was able to, this architect was able to, with his dad, and maybe another brother, I don't remember, but they were able to buy a machine for making concrete blocks, because everything down there, they make it out of concrete. And so he was able to buy this machine and went into business and was making these blocks. And I asked him how many blocks they make a day, and he said 10,000. Isn't that what he said? 10,000 blocks a day. And I'm thinking a little bitty machine. This has got to be some huge machine they bought. So anyway, a lot of the materials and stuff they probably got a lot cheaper. But I will tell you that they have opposition just like we do. So, you know, he's got a close driveway that he could use, but There's a man there that won't let him cross his property, a road. It's actually a road there, like an looked like an alleyway or whatever to us, but a road that he could cross, but this man says, no, you can't do this. So they got to take a longer way around to get to their church because this man says no, and says, no, you can't have a power. You can't run power, electricity across my property and to get power to your church. And so there's some other man that's a business owner of some sort and has property there, and he doesn't live there, but he's got a place. And he said, well, you can get power off of me. So the church is getting. So here's a man that's a curse. Here's a man that's a blessing. And everywhere you go, it's like that.
Sure.
We went to Brother Estrella's, and when we got out of the car, as soon as we got out that night, I could hear the adjoining property neighbor blasting music like you wouldn't believe. And we went all the way through service and that blasting music, you know, like that. And as soon as we got done and everybody was leaving, when they turned the lights out to the building on the church, the man shut the loud blast of music off. So you have opposition everywhere you go. Blessings and curses. Judgment Day is going to be an interesting day. Because these people that stand there to be resistance to the move of God, and then you got others that want to embrace it. And so I want to say thank you to this church for allowing us to be involved, be supporting missions, and allowing Brother Daniel and I to work together. And, you know, this is twice that we've gone together, and it's not a desire to try and be both of us gone all the time, but I will tell you, God works in it, and so we appreciate that you allow us to do that. I want to take just a couple of minutes, if she'll pull up the scripture, if you'll have to punch it back over to HDMI 1 and pull up that scripture I had there in Matthew chapter 25. Just want to share a couple of things. Oh, hang on, go back, sister. I'm sorry. Go back to HDMI 2. There's a video that I want you to see. This is a video they put together showing the construction of the church. It's about 5 or 6 minutes long. But they had the forethought to take pictures and videos along the way. It's a blessing to see the unity of the people working. Brother David said I'd go over there and sit and just cry because of the monumental task that he had started. And oh God, how are we going to get this done? And you see the Lord brought it through. It's a day of dedication there. That's the way they mix concrete, right out on the ground. You think about the thousands of man hours. Thank you. this other church in Texas gave them their pews.
Pienso que es nuestro deber corregirlo de adentro, por la gracia de Dios, y estar muy agradecidos con Dios, que no sea solamente un edificio hermoso donde nos reunimos, pero que cada persona que pase por esas puertas vea la hermosura del carácter de Jesucristo en todas las personas que entren aquí, que sea un lugar consagrado para nuestro Señor y un pueblo consagrado, porque no importa la hermosura del edificio, la cual apreciamos, pero la hermosura de la iglesia es el carácter del pueblo.
Amen. That's the character of the church, is the people. So we're going to read just a scripture there that I wanted to end with. You know, sheep begat sheep. And that work there we just saw them do, that was a one-man thing.
Right.
That was a congregation that pulled together in unity and hard work. And so this is a channel God will do much as long as we're here. Brother David's already, you know, he's got another youth meeting set up for this year. He wants to do a men's meeting where he wants to minister and bring in ministries for the men. He wants to do the things. And so God has provided a place there that we can definitely continue to be an outreach through Mexico. And like I said, Brother David goes other places also. So we'll read this real quick. And just as a precursor here to this, remember Brother Branham in Matthew chapter 24, he shows how that Matthew 24 parallels the seals. And he shows how that whenever Jesus got to the place where the seventh seal was, he was silent. He didn't say what it was. Just like in the seven seals, it was silence. But right there in that place in Matthew chapter 24 where it went silent there and he didn't show what it was, it goes into Matthew 25 and you find out that Matthew 25 is three significant events that take place underneath the seventh seal. And so one of them is the foolish virgin, the wise and foolish virgins. So underneath this seventh seal end time message coming of Christ, then the foolish and wise virgin thing takes place, right? And then the second one is what we're fixing to read here about the men, the servants that were given talents. And then the last one is at the end of the millennium, which is also under the seventh seal, where he separates the sheep from the goats. That happens also. Because this is a record of what happens and how the redeemed come in. So it's wise virgins and so forth. But underneath this seventh seal, what he's trying to tell us there is underneath this seventh seal, we need to be cognizant about the foolish and wise virgins and make sure that we're wise virgins. Right? But he also wants to make sure we're good such stewards, good servants. Right? Which we're fixing to read here. And of course, the last one doesn't apply to us because that's for those who are given life because they were good to the bride. So, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one, and to every man according to his several ability, that's important, and straightway took his journey. So he gave to everyone what according to their abilities. He didn't give them something and say, I'm entrusting you in something you can't do.
Right.
He gave them responsibility, something he knew they had the ability to cover.
Right.
Okay? And then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came and brought the other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest to me five talents. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Keep focus here. You've been faithful here over a few things.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to make you faithful on greater things.
Right.
We all want to do great things, but it all starts back with being faithful with what he's trusted to you that he knows you can do.
That's right.
Right? I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. He also that received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest to me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord, joy of the Lord. Then he which had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy money, hid thy talent in the earth. Hid it in the earth. Mm-hmm. Lo, there thou hast that that is thine. The Lord answered him, said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I had not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to put that my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I shall receive mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which hath 10 talents, which was the guy that had 5, but now he's got 10.
Right.
Now he's going to have 11. Right? For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Remember what that is, tribulation. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. So the takeaway from this here is this: isn't it interesting that he calls it talents? And it was money, but talents is your abilities, your gifts, the things that you have that he is entrusting you that you can do.
Yep.
Things about you that you can be a blessing with, and that you can promote the kingdom of heaven with, whether it's singing or just paying your tithes and coming to church and praying and supporting missions and praying for us while we're gone. Whatever it is, he's given these to you to do. And that's your talents. That's your abilities. And you're expected to go out underneath this seventh seal and use those talents for the kingdom of heaven, because there's a day of reckoning coming. And those who aren't faithful with that wind up in tribulation.
That's right.
Just like the foolish virgin wind up in tribulation. So this applies to every area in our life. To your job. Brother Ram, you remember Billy Paul's testimony? Brother Ram said, if you're going to be something, be the best there is. Right? Be the best there is. And we don't promote being a bum, but he said, if you're going to be a bum, be the best bum there is. Well, so be the best you can be on your job and everything you do. Don't you be that guy that says, well, I'll just kind of relax today. I'm going to, Brother Daniel, open up. Here we are, these brothers at their post of duty.
Yeah.
By the way, I imagine there are several brothers in here that really in their bodies don't feel very good at being here today. Mm-hmm. And I applaud you for being here at your post of duty anyway.
Yeah.
Right? We should be thankful.
That's right.
Because this church today could be mourning, mm-hmm. but we're not.
Right.
We're glad.
Yeah.
We're glad.
Yeah.
And God is good to us.
Amen.
And so I love this church and the unity and the dedication that I see in that people down there in Mexico. I see it here. We're just not as big. We're just not as big a group. But you know what? What's more important? To have huge group and be a stuffed shirt, or be small in number and actually doing something from the Lord for the Lord that actually gets and touches souls somewhere.
Amen.
And if we can't build a big assembly here and God can help us help somebody else where it does, then so be it.
Right.
You know, Brother Branham's idea, you know, when he said some of the comments was about, comment about some of the people leaving the church there. And Brother Branham's idea was like, praise God. We fill the church up. Just empty it out and let them go. We'll just fill it up again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't have to. It's just like Israel. Don't number Israel. Don't count.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter how many you have among you.
That's right.
And what matters is that God's among you.
Yeah.
Right? And so when we get to looking at the numbers behind, forget the numbers.
Yeah.
It's expensive to make a trip down there to Mexico. And by the way, Brother David sent me back with, was it $600? That he wanted us to put in our missions program. $600 US.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
Very creditable brother. He could say, well, we're Mexico, we're poor, whatever, you know what? No, God has blessed him because he's faithful.
That's right.
And God has associated him with faithful people and us with faithful people. And so we thank the Lord for that. But anyway, we want to be thankful that the Lord has helped the brothers yesterday in this missions work. And so I think that's all that I was going to share. I did want to give a prayer request, and I haven't cleared this with Brother Richard. It's okay to give a prayer request that you mentioned the other day when we were eating. Mary, you remember what we're talking about? Okay. Brother Richard, they say he's losing blood. Right? Huh?
Go ahead.
So anyway, we're going to pray about that.
Yeah.
I said, well, how do they know? You know, well, his blood count's way down or something like that, but it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We're going to pray. Amen. We ask the Lord. I mean, to pray over that with us.
Yes.
So
amen.
We're going to just believe God will keep doing great things among us and just higher and higher and more, and we're going to believe that. And so it starts in small things, and we just want to continue on with those things that are small, and God will make them bigger. So
amen.
Let's let the musicians come, and we'll just close with prayer, and we'll sing a song as we get ready to leave. Amen. I told Brother Daniel, I said, it's hard to do mission report because you want to preach.
Yeah.
What's on your heart, burn on your heart, you want to preach and share what's on your heart. But you got to take time and slow down and just kind of, and we want you to be wrapped up into your heart, into mission. And by the way, anybody ever wanted to go on a trip like that, you're welcome to go. If the Lord puts it on your heart to do it, I think it would help you be more focused back here at home. In missions work, when you see what the Lord does out there, He could do those things here in America if the American people would receive it like they do there.
Yeah.
But they don't. Amen. So let's just pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that we've had together just to reflect back on the things that, Lord, you've allowed us to be partakers of. And Lord, we look at these pictures of these people and down in Honduras, Nicaragua, and Mexico, different places, Lord. And we realize that you've knit us together with these people. We'll spend eternity with them. And Lord, there'll be something to us special, or we'll be something special to them. And Lord, we just thank you for it. We look at them and we know they are brothers and sisters to us, and our heart longs to be with them, to see them, to check up on them and see how they're doing. But Lord, our heart really longs for us to gather together someday together, just as one final gathering place that'll last through eternity. We believe, God, that you're among us and that you're knitting us all together by calling us to the mission field and having us go places and just following the leadership that you put in our hearts. We're thankful for this entire program, God, that you have eternal life and you share it with us, and it moves from heart to heart as we go out and minister the gospel. I'm asking, God, that you bless this church, this assembly, and their efforts, Lord, both here at home and also in the missions field. And God, that you would just continue to do that which is pleasing in your sight. We love you and commit everything into thy hands and ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll sing a little song. Brother Tim, I have one for us. Amen. so one other little event that I forgot to tell you, and I think Brother Daniel did too, the Saturday night service with that prayer line, and the last person that came up in the prayer line, you remember Brother Daniel, was a sister, and she was obviously devil-possessed. But I don't think she went away that way.
No.
Amen.
Yeah.
She, because you know it's interesting. You'll pray for someone who wants prayer, but then they start fighting, becoming physical, and fight you. And so, but anyway, I told Brother David I wanted to check up on her and see how she's doing. And he was gone, but he's going to let me know. So God will still deliver.
Yeah.
Amen. So God bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.